Have you ever heard the saying, blood is thicker than water? I think it relates to family issues, meaning that in the sense that family bonds are closer than those of outsiders, and I understand that. Or it can mean that family relationships are more important than all other relationships, and often people, sort of that is their view, that this family relationship is more important than all other relationships, family. And sometimes I have noticed that it's almost been an embarrassment that families that, you ever met families, you know, we just stick together no matter what, you know, blood is thicker than water, and if you fight one of us, you fight all of us, and they're so together that they end up looking like a pack of buffoons for the thing that they're standing up for. It's really, it's a strange situation to see. People can follow their blood relatives in spite of how stupid they may look by doing so. And, you know, I think a lot of us, well, I know a lot of us came out of an organization and where there was a father and two sons that stuck together, you know, no matter what. And some nutty doctrines were tolerated. Tongues, speaking in tongues, looking at one as a spiritual guru. And yet 85% of that organization said, left it. And yet the system stayed, the system said, we're going to stay like this. We're not changing our view. This is it. And you really end up looking sort of like, wow, I mean, looking quite ignorant when you do that. You know, the whole organization is left and you're standing there, you know, blood is thicker than water. Whole family, I've seen whole families leave the church because this one guy in the family system sees things differently. And the whole family, one guy and the whole family just goes and leaves the church because this one guy saw something differently. And what's amazing to me is the power one person can have in a system. I mean, think about it. It's just one person, one idea, one concept, and yet they will follow that no matter what, no matter how ignorant or stupid it makes them look, right down, you know, the path to straight downhill. Often in dysfunctional family systems, the whole system stays together to cover up the dysfunction. Gross sins are justified, hidden secrets that hurt other family members. You know, often you can have in a system, you can have a child that's being molested and it's covered up. You know, the system stays together even to cover up the gross sin. Doctrinal error is tolerated. Families stick together and look downright silly by doing so. And all of it is paraded under the banner, blood is thicker than water. We stick together. You fight one, you fight all of us. We're a family. Well, my question today, is blood thicker than water? You ever thought about why the same old tired, worn out religion is passed down from one generation to the next with a set of doctrines and beliefs that cannot be found in the Bible, cannot prove what they believe, but that system is just handed down one generation. You know, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, can't prove anything I believe, but that's what I am. The reason for that, blood is thicker than water. You know, it's my family. That's it. It's what I believe. It's just passed down from one generation. Family relations are more important than all other relationships. Is it true? Is it true? Now, I want to tell you something that I never told anybody. when we left the CGI, and started with the ETA, the organization of the ETA, End Time Assembly. And actually, my mother was not that excited about joining the ETA. That's a secret I never told anybody. But she just wasn't that thrilled about it. And she basically went with it because I had friends there, and that's the decision I made to join the ETA. But basically, she let me know, you know, she said, you know, I will support you as long as you don't get off the beaten path. You know, if you start coming up with some, you know, crazed ideas, harebrained doctrines, I'm not going to support your ministry. Now, I knew that right up front. And it wasn't, well, I'll support you no matter what you do. It was none of that. That's not the way it is. And what I found, the more dysfunctional the family system is, the more they will stick together no matter what. In fact, one of the ways you want to judge that, if you're in a dysfunctional family system, is I almost guarantee you they will stick together no matter how screwed up something is. You know, blood's thicker than water. We stick together. You fight one, you fight all of us. They stick together. It's almost as if the greater the dysfunction, the more they will stick together on something, no matter how silly it makes them look. In healthy family systems, there is correction and accountability. You can say in a healthy family system, that is stupid. That's the dumbest thing you've ever thought of doing. And you can be corrected also. You're accountable. There's accountability. You know, I don't think you ought to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that in a healthy system. In an unhealthy system, you know, it's like, okay, you want to look stupid? We'll all look stupid together, you know. Now, did Jesus support this idea that family relations are more important than all other relationships? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26. We could look at is what did Jesus say about the family system? What did Jesus say about the family system? He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now you look at this and you think, okay, Jesus, where's the peacemaker attitude here? You know, and people have done backstrokes through this word hate. I've heard it explained that, well, it means love less by comparison. You know what the word means? Exactly what you think it means. It means hate. Now, in other words, Jesus is making a comparison. In other words, compared to me, this is what you must do. Nothing must get in the way between me and you, Jesus speaking. You can't let anything get in the way. If any man come to me, there's a high probability that this is what you're going to be up against. In fact, he might have could have said, these are the things that will keep you from coming to me. Let's list them. Can be, father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and one's own life. I can guarantee you that can keep you from coming to God, your own life. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, there will be a cross to bear. You will be misunderstood. And do not assume that it's about simple logic. I tried that when God first called me. It was so simplistic. Look, there it is in the Bible. Can't you see it? Read it. Read it for yourself. There it is. It's not about logic. It has nothing to do with logic. It has something to do with a little miracle, big miracle, called God opening your hearts and minds to receive something that you are utterly it is impossible for you to receive it without God's Holy Spirit, without God's intervention. You will not receive it. It's not about logic. It's not about logic. It's about God working on your heart and opening your heart up to receive this. You will be made fun of. You will be criticized. And you could be hated by those closest to you. There is a cross to bear. Did Jesus support this idea that family relations are more important than all other relationships? Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 6. I think is interesting. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 6. You know, I can't read numbers anymore. I read them backwards. I think is that dyslexic? You know, you read reading things. You know I'm going to turn right and I'm giving a left-hand signal. And I'm aware that I'm doing it. It's not like I don't know I'm doing this. I'm aware. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 6. If your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your daughter, or the wife of your bosom. Notice, this is personal. Your wife. or your friend which is as thine own soul. That means a very close, dear friend to you. Entice thee, saying secretly, let's go and serve other gods, which you have not known, nor your fathers. Namely, now what kind of gods? Think about this. What kind of gods is it talking about, going out and serving other gods? Namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, near you, or far off, from one end of the earth to the other. That little expression, namely, the gods of the people which are round about you. That's interesting. The people's gods. The people out there have a god that they follow, do they not? Which day do the people's gods go to church on? Sunday. I remember I was talking to a contractor and I said, you know, he got upset about something and because we weren't working on the Sabbath Saturday, and he said, well, my Sabbath is Sunday. I thought, well, no statement has ever been truer. Man's Sabbath is Sunday. You know, God, Sunday, I will give you 1 hour of corporate worship on Sunday. That's as far as it's going to go. It's an hour, no more. Take it or leave it. You know, the gods of the people. They, you know, that's what they do. What holidays do the people's gods have? Well, that's many holidays. One's coming up very soon called Halloween. And you're going to see Halloween in some churches across where you go. Trick or trump, you know. It's in the churches because the minister doesn't have the courage to say, we're not tolerating this. He's on a salary. He gets paid. He can't upset the apple cart. There goes his salary. There goes his money. He can't just stand up and say, we're not tolerating this. I have nothing to lose here. You know, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I mean, then you go into, again, the people's gods. You go into the pagan, heathenistic holiday of Christmas, as if Jesus is up there saying, all this for me, all this traffic, all of these trees, all of these, you know, going in debt, all of this gift swapping, it's all for me. Bless you, my people. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that. He's not saying that at all. There is a God that the people's gods. Yeah, I think, okay, what promise of eternal life do the people's gods have? Well, it is basically Christian retirement. That's the promise of eternal life, Christian retirement. Show me in the Bible where the Bible teaches Christian retirement. No, it's talking about a kingdom that's going to come to this earth and God's going to rule with a rod of iron. When Christ returns, he kicks what? You know what? It has nothing to do with retirement, taking it easy. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. People's gods, I guarantee you, teaches this. A lot of them do. We were talking to Greg and Nancy about this. The law's been abolished. That's what the people's gods, you know, that's what they teach. People's gods, you know, sends people to hell to burn for all eternity, not just for a few minutes, but forever. For the next billion years, this person is going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. Billions, trillions of years. The poor sap is still in there burning. That's the people's gods. Now, I want to tell you, I have very little in common with the people's gods. You know, do you have a lot in common with them? Why don't you join them if you do? If you've got a lot in common with them, join them. Why are you here? Do you know why you're here? Notice what it says. It says, you shall not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, verse 8, neither shall your eye pity him, neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him. Notice that. You don't conceal. Well, let's do the opposite. Let's expose those people for what they are. But you shall surely kill him. Oh, boy. Your hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So much for blood is thicker than water. Now, I know that, you know, this is talking about a theocracy here, but I suppose that's what would actually happen under that theocracy. And we're no longer under a theocracy like this, but it just sort of reveals an attitude that God has. Matthew 10 and verse 34. Let's notice that. Let's turn back to the New Testament. Matthew 10 and verse 34. Jesus says, Matthew 10 verse 34, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I have not come to send peace, but a sword. For I have not come to set a man at variance. I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, against her mother, excuse me, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Uh-oh. "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, we look at this verse, and I think this day is coming, you know, in reality. You know, you see, right now we can all get along with people, can't we? You've got your religion, and the people's God have their religion. And we can all just get along with one another. You know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, we can just get along with it. You know, the whole concept basically is about mere acceptance. You know, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you accept Jesus into your heart, raise your hand. Okay, I'm saved. And we can get along with other people just fine. But I think when times get hard, you're going to see this verse in reality more. "Think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I have not come to send peace, but a sword. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Blood is thicker than water. Family relations are more important than all other relationships. Is it true? Did Jesus teach this? Let's turn to another verse in Matthew 12 and verse 46. Matthew 12 and verse 46. I like this story. It sort of reveals what Jesus thinks. It sort of defines what Jesus knows what is a real family. In other words, what is a real family? While he yet talked, Matthew 12 and verse 46, "While he yet talked to the people, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him." Now they wanted to speak to him. "Then one of them said, Behold, your mother and brethren stand without, desiring to speak to you. But he answered," notice the answer, "and said, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Fascinating verse. Christ defines a family. Whoever will do my will. We all have a biological family, and hopefully it was a good one. But this is Christ's definition of a family. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." You know, to me, Christ's church is the one place where you can start building a family system. And I often wondered why the devil sends so many nuts to the church of God. You know, that's just a common thing to see. It's as natural as breathing. Now, we're okay here. I mean, don't take that personally. But but we have, you know, if you stay here long enough, you will see nuts come through the door. It's a guaranteed absolute. And I think it is to, if the devil can't screw up the biological family, and he does, I mean, he does, absolutely. He works on the spiritual family of God in the church. He's not just satisfied with messing up the biological family. He's done a well enough job of that. But he likes to destroy the church from within also. Kelly tells me about, there's some guy that's been thrown out of every church he goes to. He goes out and he comes to church and he hands out papers on polygamy. I think he's looking for a woman or something, I believe. But more than one. But he's gotten thrown out of every church of God he goes to. They tolerate him for a while and they just say, "You got to leave. You can't come back." It's sad. Christ's definition of a family: "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And I want to read that to you. I thought it was fascinating from The Message, another translation. The Message, same verse, Matthew 12 and verse 50, says this. I thought it was really cool. It says, "Obedience is thicker than blood." Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys my Heavenly Father's will is my brother and sister and mother. It's about an obedient relationship with God. And you know, you may come from a dysfunctional family system. And someone said that it's not about blaming. It's not about blaming your parents, and it's not about blaming anybody. You may have to say, okay, they were wrong in that system. My parents were wrong in what they did, what they taught. But it's not about blaming. But the way out is to realize obedience to God is thicker than blood. And I want to conclude with this one verse, and I'll just, after I read that, I'll sit down and shut up. Psalms 73 and verse 25. Psalms 73 and verse 25. Let's turn there. It's a comforting scripture. Psalm 73 and verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? Who do I have but you, Lord? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee.